Well, good morning, everyone. Great to have you with us today. I'm really excited about what we're talking about today because we're talking about something that will make a difference in your life personally and in your spiritual life. So I'm really excited about what God is going to be communicating to us and through us today. Well, it was about 22 years ago, I guess, that Julie and I bought our house, the same house that we're living in today. And the number one criterion for us in buying this house was that we didn't want to have to do anything to it. We were kind of in a season of life. We didn't have a lot of cash lying around. We didn't have time because of the responsibilities that we had. We didn't have a lot of time to put into making a lot of upgrades to the house, things that we had to do to it. And so we found a house that met that criterion, and then we moved in. Now, there's something you need to know about a house. When we moved in, the inside was blue. I mean, it was really blue. I mean, the walls were blue, all of them. The carpet was blue, all of it. I mean, to get an idea of kind of what the house was like, just think of Smurf World, okay, or Smurf Universe. I mean, that's kind of how it was. And so, but it fit the criterion. We didn't have to do anything to it necessarily. There were things that we wanted to do. We didn't have to do anything to it. Well, we also didn't have a lot of furniture for the house, and because we just moved from an apartment that we were renting, and so we didn't have enough furniture to kind of fill the house. So it turned out that Julie's brother had furniture that he was replacing in his house, and so he just gave us the furniture that he was replacing. And so we were very grateful for that, and so we drove U-Haul down to Missouri and grabbed the furniture and came back, and we put it in our house. Guess what color the furniture was? It was blue. It was like blue camouflage in there. I mean, when you walked in to try to find a place to sit, you just kind of had to kind of feel, and it's, okay, there it is, and you can sit down. I mean, obviously it wasn't that bad, but it was pretty blue. I mean, we put blue furniture in a house with blue walls and blue carpet. It was blue. You know how a lot of families will, when they play hide and seek, they'll just turn out the lights, you know, when they play? Now, we didn't do that. We just left the lights on, everyone else dressed in blue, and it was no problem. You couldn't find anybody. But once we started saving up some money, we did for some improvements, and we started, our season of life began changing. We had a little more time to take care of some things. And so we started making some upgrades and changing the paint on the wall, the colors on the wall, the carpet on the floor, and then we made some upgrades to the family room. And wow, we couldn't. Once we started making the changes, it was like we can't even believe the difference that it made. And we can't even imagine living in Smurf World anymore after all of the changes that we made. It was a decision that we made. It was projects that we completed that we just can't imagine life being like that anymore after the change. Well, you probably have a similar story to that when if you think about a decision you made or a project that you embarked on, that after you were finished with it, you can't ever imagine life being any different from what you are experiencing after you made the decision or after you finished the project. But I wonder this. You know, you might be able to think about something like that when it comes to like your job or your career or maybe even a home project. But I wonder about this. I wonder, when was the last time you made a decision like that? Where you kind of look back and you think, man, I can't imagine life being like that anymore. When was the last time you made a decision like that for you? For a difference in you. For a change in you. When was the last time you made a decision for the improvement of you? If you were to evaluate your life right now, I wonder if you were to do so, whether you would come to the conclusion that you're pretty much the same as you've always been. Yeah, there have been seasons of life, things have changed, responsibilities have changed. But when you really think about you, I mean, like who you are, you're thinking, you know, there really hasn't been much change in who I am. I'm pretty much who I've always been. And there are things in my life that I'm dealing with, that I'm interacting with, that I kind of coexist with, that have just never changed. I've just kind of, you know, kind of given up and said, that's just who I am. It's just a part of who I am. You may have been living with the same hurts and habits and hang-ups for years. Never made any change. Never done anything to try to bring that kind of change and transformation in your life. It could be like negative attitudes. It could be cynicism. It could be anger. It could be poor money management. It could be addictions. It can be laziness. And you just said, that's just who I am. And it's not going to change. I haven't been able to change, and I'm just no different. If you're a Christian and that describes your situation, your reality, chances are you're really not very happy with where you are, because when you signed up for this, when you made a commitment to become a follower of Jesus Christ, there were changes that you were hoping to take place in your life that you thought were going to be pretty dramatic, but you're not really experiencing the change that you were hoping for. And you're wondering, what do I have to do? What do I have to do to get unstuck? What do I have to do to make this transformation in my life? What do I have to do to gain some real traction, take some positive steps forward? You might not even be a Christian. You might not even be a follower of Jesus Christ. You might have a lot of the same questions. You're thinking, you know what? I don't like where I am. I'm tired of being stuck. I'm tired of being in a rut. I don't like how things are going right now. I would love to be able to make a decision that would be a transformation in my life where I can look back on it and I can think, man, I just can't ever imagine life being that way again. I'm looking for that. What do I have to do to take some really positive, real steps in my life? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today. And we're going to be in a book in your New Testament, the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is a letter that was written to a church and even to a region of churches. The letter was passed around by a man by the name of the Apostle Paul. And under the inspiration of God, Paul writes this letter. And the purpose of the letter is to talk about the calling and the conduct of the church. How individuals in the church collectively can be stronger, can be more loving, can be more united. How we can all be making this progress that we need to be making toward what God expects of us. And in the one verse that we're going to be looking at today, this is what he says about that. He says, "We are joined together with peace through the Spirit, so make every effort to continue together in this way." Now, you're going to notice right off the bat, there are two together statements in there. There's the join together and there's the continue together. And both of those are absolutely critical if we are going to make the progress that we want to make, if we want to see the changes that we want to make in our lives. We have to understand what it means to be joined together and to continue together. So we're going to be talking about both of those. Now, the first one is joined together. So what is he talking about when he's saying that we are joined together? Well, what he's talking about, and he's talking to the church, he's talking to people who are followers of Jesus Christ, because the church is not a building, it's people. And so he's talking to people who have been joined together. And how are they joined together? How are they connected? Being joined together is like we have this relationship, we have this connection together, we have this same thing in common. They're joined together how? With peace. So what he's saying is that someone who is a follower of Jesus Christ is somebody who has made peace with God. That's where everyone needs to start. If you want to see traction in your life, if you want to see change happening in your life, you need to start with making peace with God. Now, everyone needs this. This has to be a part of everyone's life. Otherwise, you're not going to be fulfilled. You're not going to have any direction. Yeah, you might enjoy your job, and you might be on a career path, and you might have a plan for your family, and you could be, you know, thinking about retirement, whatever the situation is for you. All those things might be true, but you're not really going to have the fulfilling and the purpose and the direction that God intends for your life until you are at peace with Him. Everyone needs this because everybody has a past that needs to be forgiven. We all need strength for our present, and we all need security for our future. Everyone needs this. Everyone needs to be at peace with God. Now, the question becomes then, how do I have peace with God? Well, the good news is that the same man who wrote this statement also wrote another book in the Bible, and in that book, he describes how we can be at peace with God. And so this is what he says in the book of Romans. He says this. He says, "Since we have been made right with God by our faith, we have peace with God. This happened through our Lord Jesus Christ." So this is what he's saying. We will have peace with God when we have been made right with God. And we are made right with God because of the forgiveness of God, and that forgiveness is through the person of Jesus Christ. Now, why do I have to be made right with God? Because I need to be forgiven. There are things in my life that I know are disobedient against God. Every conversation I have with somebody where we end up talking about this, if I were to ask them the question, do you believe you have done things that have displeased God that have been contrary to his will? Everyone says, yep, that's me. I've done it. I mean, list of 10 commandments, I've probably broken almost all of them. Okay? They would admit to that. And so we need to be forgiven. See, the Bible tells us that that sin is what separates us from God. And the Bible even uses stronger terms than that, because he says that that God's eyes are even purer than to even look upon sin. And so our sin actually causes us to be enemies with God. And so our sin causes us to be enemies with God, but forgiveness makes peace with God. And Jesus is our peacemaker. And so when someone comes to the point in their life where they accept the fact that they have sinned, that they've done wrong against God, and that they need to make peace with God and trust in the forgiveness that Jesus offers through his death and the life that he offers through his resurrection from the dead, then the Bible says that we are at peace with God. We are made right with God, and so we are at peace with him. Everyone needs this. Some of you need to start there today, because the changes that you want in your life won't happen until there's a change in your heart. And here's the good news, is that Jesus stands ready. He stands ready 24/7, 365. Every moment, Jesus stands ready as he extends always the invitation to you to be forgiven and to be at peace with God. He stands ready at any moment whenever you decide, I'm going to accept the invitation. And that moment might be yours right now. You might be thinking, I'm looking for that. I'm looking to be at peace with God. Because otherwise we'll be spiritually restless, we won't find direction, and we won't see the changes that we're looking for in our life. This is the first step. And so, if you are ready to accept the invitation that Jesus is offering, right in your own heart, you don't have to say anything out loud, you don't have to stand, you don't have to come forward, you don't have to close your eyes, none of that, but just in your own heart, you can pray, you can talk to God and say something like this. God, I know I've sinned, I know I've done things wrong, I know I've messed that up, and I'm sorry. But I don't want to be your enemy anymore. I want to be your friend. I want to be at peace with you. So right now today, I'm trusting in the death of Jesus for my forgiveness. And I'm counting on the life that he offers as a result of his resurrection. I'm trusting in Jesus alone for that. And I got to have that because I want to have peace. I don't want to have peace today. I want to have it right now. If you make that decision and you continue in this life that God has designed for you on this path after being joined with him, it's going to be one of those decisions that you're going to look back on down the road and you're going to think, I cannot even imagine life any other way than what I'm experiencing right now. I can't believe I put it off that long. If that's the decision that you have made today, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to take the card that's in your worship program. In the bottom, there's a box that says, my next step. I just want you to write the word peace in there. All right, just write the word peace. And then I'll know that you have made a decision to make peace with God. And then I or somebody else in the church will get in contact with you and we'll help you take your next steps. We won't badger you. We'll just extend an invitation to take your next steps in your spiritual life. When we make peace with God, we are joined together. That's what this verse was telling us, that we are joined together with other followers of Jesus Christ in the church, because the Spirit of God lives in our hearts, and he is the one who brings peace into our life. By God's Spirit in our lives, we are joined together with others who are at peace with God. So that's the first together statement. Remember, there were two together statements. One was joined together, and the second is continued together. What he says is you are joined together with peace through the Holy Spirit, so make every effort. See, there's an effort on our part. There's something that we have to do. He says, make every effort to continue together in this way. There's a join together and a continue together. Now, some of you have done the join together part. You've come to the place where you've made peace with God. You've trusted in Jesus for your forgiveness and for your life, but you've stopped short there. You kind of have half the togethers working for you, okay? You've got that, but you don't have the continue together happening in your life right now. You know, you can worship in a crowd, but you really can only connect, continue together in a group. Growth requires connection. And this is the secret sauce. This is where a lot of people are missing out on taking the next step in their spiritual lives and continuing to make progress in their spiritual lives, because they are not continuing together in a group environment, because groups is where it's at. That's where the life change is going to be happening in your life. You know, it's easy to come on Sunday morning, participate in the worship service, maybe listen to a good relevant message that applies to your life, and then go to Bob Evans. And then never apply anything you've learned. You've learned something, but you haven't applied anything. Transformation only happens with application, and application almost always only happens with connection, because you have people who are praying for you and helping with you and helping you take your next step. That's why groups are so important. God wired us in such a way that we need each other. I need you. You need me. We all need one another. He has so wired us that way that 59 times in the New Testament, he talks about things we should be doing with one another. We call them the one another's of the New Testament. Now, I know you're smart people, but I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here, all right? You can't one another without another. You got to have another before you want another. You follow me? You got to have that. You can't follow through with the one another's that God is calling us to fulfill in our life with others unless you're with another. That's the only way that happens. And so in the New Testament, we are told that we need to be loving one another, caring for one another, encouraging one another, supporting one another, praying for one another, greeting one another, sharing with one another, serving one another. 59 times he talks about things we should be doing with one another, and you're not going to do the one another's without another. It's not going to happen. Can't happen. That's why groups are so important. I heard a pastor say one time, God never meant us to go through life as a Lone Ranger, and even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. I believe that's true. You're not meant to go through life yourself. I'm not talking about marital status. I'm talking about a spiritual family. You were not meant to walk through life alone. You need to be connected with a spiritual family, someone who's going to be praying for you, encouraging you, helping you take your next step, helping you fulfill the dreams and the expectations that you believe God has for you. There's a man by the name of Dr. Henry Cloud. He is a clinical psychologist, and he's an author. And he was writing about relationships recently and the value of relationships. And this is something he said. He said, a real connection is one in which you can be your whole self, the real, authentic you, a relationship to which you can bring your heart, mind, soul, and passion. You know what he's talking about there? You need to be in relationships where you can just be yourself. You can be who you are. Because until you get really real with who you are and others around you are getting real with who they are, you're not going to be able to make the same. Yet there are things you're going to admit. There are some things you're going to have to change, and that's not going to happen unless you're real with someone. You need a place where you can be real with one another. Now, if you're already in a group and you're not seeing the traction, the progress that, you know, I'm promising through these groups, this might be it. This might be it. Where your group isn't really being real with one another. You're not being open. You're not saying, hey, I need prayer here. This is something that I need. I need to make this progress. This is what I think God has asked me to do. Would you help me along? That's not happening. All right? Then Dr. Henry Cloud asks this really probing question. This is what he says. Are you surrounding yourself with people who fuel you? That is, are you around people who are an encouragement to you? Are you around people who are walking with you? Are you around people who are your champion? Are you around people whose greatest joy would be to fulfill you, to fulfill your greatest joy? Are those the kind of people that you are around? Well, you know, there are a lot of good self-help books around that tell you things that you could be doing and should be doing, and some of them are really good. But almost every self-help book is missing two important components, and it is this. It's God's power and the church's community. And the Bible tells us we need both of those. That's the join together, and that's the continuing together. That's the connection that the Bible is talking about that we need to be having with one another. God's power and the church's community. And so what I thought I would do today is I thought I would invite some friends to come out, five different people, part of three different grace groups, and they're going to come talk to us about what they have been experiencing in their group. They're coming out right now. You might want to welcome them to our stage. This is Timmy Lowe, and then we have the Crooks, Justin and Sarah, and then we have the Stairs, Dean and Jane. And they're going to come share their stories a little bit about what it's meant for them to be in a group. Now, these are not, they're not getting paid to say these statements. We didn't write these things down for them. Nothing like that, okay? This is of their own free will, right? Own free will. And so they're just really excited about what God is doing in their life through their group and in their group, and they're just going to share that with us so that we can know what we can experience and what we can anticipate in a group. So we're going to talk mainly about three major areas that we feel like groups are essential for in our lives. And the first one that I want us to talk about is the spiritual development, the personal spiritual development that we experience as a result of being in a group. And Jane, you were telling me earlier this week about how your group was really instrumental at a very personal level for you to take really positive steps in your spiritual life. Why don't you share that with everybody?
Okay. First of all, we've been part of a group for going on 5 years and have become a really close group as far as our fellowship and prayer time. And you were talking about connections. Dean and I came from a small church and where we knew everybody or everybody knew you. So by us attending Grace, we felt it was important for us to get involved, and we started going to a small group. And it was the best thing that we've ever done. We were able to connect and learn, meet new people, and really bond with a lot of Christian folks. Personally, what Pastor Dave is talking about is that, I hate to say this, but in the past, I really got away from reading my Bible. It would sit there on the stand, get away from reading my daily devotions. And by joining a small group, it really, really helped me get back into the Bible, get back into the Word, and that's what I'm doing now, and I just feel really blessed by being able to do that again.
Yeah, and you there's no substitute for that. There's no substitute for getting those truths in your heart, in your mind, so you have something you can be acting on. So good for you. Really happy about that. Now, our groups, sometimes they have curriculum that they have on their own, but many of our groups continue talking about what we discuss on Sunday morning. And the Crooks, your group does exactly that, right? I mean, you guys had a conversation in your group, and I know you do every time you meet, but about a sermon series at the beginning of the year, and it was really helpful for you, Sarah. Well, tell us about that.
Yeah, I remember during the Fulfilled series, I would sit out in the chairs and just kind of think, oh my gosh, I feel like they're talking right at me, like they know I'm here. I, you know, Lena, Justin kind of sulk in my seat. Was I getting my fulfillment in Jesus, or was I finding it in those things of Facebook and what other people say and about me or money? And we took that to our Grace group, and it was just so nice to talk to other people who were in that same cycle of life as us, and we're struggling with the same things. And so we could have done that on our own, but it certainly wouldn't have been as redeeming as doing it with a group.
Yeah, and that adage is true, you know, misery loves company. That's good. That's right. But progress requires others. And so I think that that is really important that you guys were vulnerable that way and said, you know what, this is where I'm at, and I'm tired of being this way. I want to move forward. I want to make sure that my life is on the right track. Now, Timmy, your group, you were talking about the value of just the relationships you had in helping you take next steps, particularly in decisions and so forth you're making. So tell us about how your group has helped you.
Yeah, when I started coming to groups, I was in my last semester of college and kind of running around with a rough crowd and not necessarily making, you know, the most God-centered choices that I could be making. And so I wanted to find, you know, people, like-minded people that wanted to walk with God. So I started coming to the group on, it's a Thursday night group. Mm-hmm. Just all kids in college and, well, college age. Mm-hmm. And I just found, you know, they were very supportive and want me to make the best decisions, and we all supporting each other and helping out.
Oh, good for you. I'm glad you addressed that in your life, because that's really, because a lot of people your age just want to let that slide, just kind of let it go. But you chose to allow people to speak into your life. And now that group is really, really valuable to you.
Yeah.
And you meet on Thursday. So tell me what Thursdays are like for you.
I always look forward to, you know, ending my day with a church group.
Good, definitely. Good. And Justin, you talked about how the group helped you and Sarah in your situation when you first came to the church, and how the connection of the group really helped you get to know the church a little bit more.
Right. We came to the church not knowing very many people at all. Being new to the community, being new to the church. And we were hesitant at first to join a grace group. We weren't sure if we had time or made some excuses like that. So we jumped in and we did it. One huge benefit, it's made this church, which seems very large, just shrink down to a little community that, you know, we can start with, and then we can kind of build off of that. So
you're one of those people that you did kind of put it off for a little bit, and then finally you decided to get involved.
Yeah, we put it off for a little while. So. But it was probably the best decision we've made since we moved here.
One of those people who can look back and say, hey, I can't imagine being involved with church without being involved with my group.
Yeah, the people we know, the people we now have relationships with, we wouldn't have those if we hadn't joined. So we're truly blessed, for sure.
Good. Excellent. The other part of the groups that we really emphasize is not only our personal development spiritually and our relational connections, but also high value for us is service and serving other people. Dean, your group is really heavily involved with that kind of service, and our community has really benefited from some of the things that you have done. So talk to us about that.
Okay. A few years ago, we worked with People to People at Christmas time, and we walked around with the parents and helped them pick out Christmas gifts for their families, for they could have Christmas, nice Christmas gifts under the tree.
These are families who, maybe in terms of how we talk about it, wouldn't have had a Christmas, but your group was able to experience them getting gifts for their kids and making that morning a very special morning.
We hope that our decisions were, you know, helpful to their families.
Yeah.
We also took meals into the Worcester Fire Department just to show our appreciation to the hard work that they do. And every time they go out to a fire, that they put their lives on the line. So last Memorial Day, the 3 days, we took in total about 45 meals to them.
Wow.
And they appreciated it so very much, and it was good to do that for them.
Excellent.
And we made a deal with Mr. Jingling, the ice cream wagon, and a few years ago. And so we went to door-to-door in a community and passed out flyers promoting Grace Church, along with some ice cream sandwiches or ice cream bars, whatever it may be. And we got good response from that.
Excellent.
And because I'm not one that goes around, likes to go around to door to door, but that was very, very, very helpful. We also grilled hot dogs and made slushies for the church's Little League baseball team. And that was a good experience.
Yeah.
So we ate more hot dogs than we ate. passed out, I think, but it was good.
Good for you guys. So, well, thank you. Okay. One of those high value for us here at Grace is our community, our county. And we have something called hashtag For Wayne County, where we just want to be an encouragement and a blessing to people in our community. And our groups really, really help us as a church, as people who are joined together, really helps us be a benefit to families. And you've heard that from Dean. But your group also, Timmy, was involved with some of these projects for Wayne County, especially for under-resourced children in our community. What was some of that?
Yeah, we just realized how blessed we were growing up and really, I mean, still today, and what we take for granted. So we put together hygiene kits for kids at Melrose Elementary mm-hmm. School, and we all pitched in and bought, you know, we had a list of, you know, what would be on in each kit, and we all pitched in and bought, you know, individual items and threw them together and gave them to the kids at the school.
Yeah, it's amazing. If you've been with us for very long, you probably have heard that there are a lot of under-resourced families in our community, and one of the things that we're trying to do as a church is trying to help those families. And a lot of things that we kind of take for granted when it comes to having food on our table or, you know, hygiene products that are at our disposal just are not taken for granted by a lot of people in our community. And it's just great for us to be able to, through our groups and through the other avenues in our church, to be able to be a blessing to our community. So well, why don't you thank our friends for coming and sharing with us a little bit of what they've learned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I think one of the things that that we're learning here, and this conclusion might come as a little bit of a surprise to you, is that we need, if we really want to grow in our life, we need more than a worship service. I heard Justin talk about that. He and Sarah came for a while and kind of put off being involved with the group. They're just coming to a worship service. And but it takes more. It takes more than just a worship service. It also takes more than just Bible study. Now, good for you if you're involved with the Bible and you're reading the Bible. And excellent. Absolutely essential. No doubt about that. But it takes more than a worship service and Bible reading to grow. I think what we're learning today from what the Apostle Paul wrote is it takes one another. Connection is necessary for growth. Growth requires connection. There's no doubt about that. And so if I could just summarize with a few statements, maybe some things that we have learned today that might be helpful for you. And the first statement that I would make that I think we have learned is that being involved with a group helps me to build spiritual muscle. You know, there's something that happens when we go from a row on Sunday morning to a circle in our group. We go from just knowing something to understanding and applying it. And Jesus says when we begin to understand and apply those truths from God's word into our life, that's when we begin establishing an immovable foundation in our life. So we begin developing some spiritual muscle. There's another benefit from being involved with the group, and that is we develop encouraging relationships. We have people who are for us. We have people who are encouraging us, helping us move along. You heard our friends talk about that today, is that, you know, when they're in their group, they are encouraged, not only just toward better decisions and you know, their personal walk with Jesus, but they're encouraged in other aspects of their life as well. And it's just really encouraging to have somebody who is with you. You know, the Bible talks about the value of being with one another. It talks about that. It says, don't stop meeting together. In other words, it's necessary to meet together, because what you need to be doing when you're meeting together is encouraging one another on toward love and good deeds. As a matter of fact, the word used there is spur or provoke one another on toward love and good deeds. We need one another, and developing those encouraging relationships are really helpful for us. And then there's one last takeaway I want to talk about, and is being in a group helps me fulfill my God-given purpose. You know, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have the privilege of being a representative of Jesus in your relationships, in your community, in your neighborhood, at your workplace, wherever that is. And the best way we do that is through our service. You heard about how our groups are serving, but you have a personal ministry of service also. And the reason why service is so so representative of who Jesus is, because when he came, from his own mouth, he said this. He said, I did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many. The reason why followers of Jesus Christ serve is because that's what Jesus did. That's why we have this saying around there, save people, serve people. Now, let me wrap it up by sharing with you my story and the story of Julie and me. We moved to Worcester, I don't know, about 27 years ago, 28 years ago, something like that. And we were followers of Jesus, and we were people who took seriously reading the Bible and understanding the Bible, and we took our faith very seriously. But I really knew that I really wasn't building the spiritual muscle that I needed to, and I certainly wasn't developing those encouraging relationships for people outside of my wife who were really for me, you know, and they were really encouraging me to take my next step and strive for what God had for me, and I know I wasn't fulfilling my God-intended purpose. Now, I had a career path that I was working on, and I was trying to make progress on, and, you know, we had plans that we were planning out, you know, years in advance and so forth, but I really wasn't fulfilling my God-given purpose. That all changed when we walked in the doors of this church. Because when we walked into Grace, we began attending a service, and we attended a service for a little while, but it really wasn't long after that before someone invited us to be a part of a group. We didn't have any family around. Our closest family was 550 miles away. And we didn't know anybody. But we were invited to this group, and we went to the group, and they just kind of took us in. They just kind of brought us into their fold. And they were encouraging to us. At the time, my wife was pregnant with our first. No family around. She didn't, you know, her mom wasn't here. My parents were here. And without even really knowing anybody in this group and them really not knowing us, you know what they did? They threw my wife a baby shower. You don't know what that meant. For people who hardly even knew us, but because we were joined together, they wanted to continue together with us, and they wanted us to come with them in their journey. And we stuck. We stuck because we found a place where we could be known, we could be loved, we could be celebrated, we could be served, and we could do the same thing. Now, I am just a beggar trying to help another beggar find food. That's all I'm doing. And I'm telling you, it's here. It's here. But it won't happen just sitting in a row. You got to get connected in a group. The life you're looking for begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ and continues with him and with others. It's one where you're joined together and you are continuing together. So you know what the ask is, don't you? The ask is to find that response card, and at the bottom of the response card is a white box, and in that white box, I just want you to write the word group. If you're not involved with the group, you know it's your next step, you know it is, you know it is. Don't go to Bob Evans without making a decision. Write the word group. Take your next step. Don't just join. Continue. Continue. And then here's what will happen. Someone from our staff will give you a phone call, help you get connected with the group. It's not a life sentence. If it doesn't work out, you can go to another group. But get involved with the group, and so where you can be known, celebrated, served, and loved. All right? And you can do the same thing. So why don't you bow with me in prayer? Lord, I do thank you for what you have taught us, what you have instructed us. Thank you for the chance to one another. And thank you for making us people, putting into our wiring, our makeup, this need for one another, our need for you, first of all, and then our need for one another. I do pray for people who are making a commitment to become a follower of Jesus Christ, that they will find peace with you. And for those of us who have already taken that step, we will continue together in relationship with one another through our groups. So we ask you, Lord, to do above and beyond what we could ask or imagine because you have joined with us, we have joined with others, and we are continuing with others in biblical community. In Jesus' name, amen.